Eichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 19 in the series, entitled Why This World is So Much Greater Than the World to Come, recorded live at Eichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good evening. We're up to Perek Dalad of Tanya, Daf Ches Amud Beis, page 16. In the previous classes, we learned that the garments, the levushim of the nefesh halakis of the divine soul, namely its mediums of expression, thought, speech, and action, surpass qualitatively the bearer of these garments, which is the soul itself. And furthermore, the Alter Rebbe said, the garments surpass qualitatively the soul infinitely, la'ein ketz v'sof. In other words, the acts of studying Torah and performing mitzvahs via man's faculties of thought, speech, as well as action exceed the internal experience of the soul through its 10 inner koichos, faculties and attributes. Because although these faculties constitute the intrinsic, essential, internal identity of the soul versus the garments which merely reflect the behavior of the soul either through thought, speech, and action, nevertheless, the garments surpass infinitely the soul which bears these garments. And the reason for this, the Alter Rebbe explains, is because Torah and mitzvahs are one with Hashem. Torah and Hashem are truly one, as he explains, that Eiraisa is comprised of both the will and the wisdom of Hashem, will being the mitzvahs and wisdom being the Torah. And by Hashem, his will and his wisdom are one with him. Therefore, we understand the unique and great quality of the garments, even relative to the soul itself. Because when you're dealing with the soul, albeit its greatness, despite its unique aloofness and connection to Hashem and to the spiritual essence, nevertheless, ultimately, it's a soul, it's a consciousness. But when the soul engages in the act of studying Torah or performing a mitzvah, this is part and parcel of the divine reality. A mitzvah constitutes the will of Hashem. A word of Torah constitutes the wisdom of Hashem. So by connecting to Torah and mitzvahs, the soul rises and soars above and beyond the confinements of its own character, and it truly touches the divine. Further in the Perek, the Alter Rebbe asked the question, how can we indeed say that when we grasp a concept of Torah, or when we fulfill a mitzvah of the Torah, we are indeed becoming connected with Hashem Himself? Why? Because this is the wisdom of Hashem, and this is the will of Hashem, and the wisdom and the will of Hashem are one with Him. Apparently, this is ununderstood. This requires clarification. Because just as we know that Hashem Himself transcends human grasp and comprehension, in the words of the Zohar, Leis machshava tfisa beklal, no thought can apprehend Him at all. The same is true regarding his ratzin and his chachma, his will and his wisdom. In the words of Yeshaya, kilei machshavei machshavei secha, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So that means that us, mortal human beings, which possess finite minds and relative hearts, cannot grasp the will and the wisdom of Hashem. Since we do know that we do grasp the wisdom of Torah in some way or another, and we certainly relate to the will of mitzvahs, we know exactly what they are and we have the ability to perform them in a very meticulous and accurate way, that would seem to indicate that the Torah and the mitzvahs that we are relating to, that we are grasping, that we are internalizing, is not that wisdom and will which is one with Him. Rather, it is something else. It's another type of chachma, it's another type of ratzon. But how can you say that this Torah and mitzvahs that we identify with is that will and wisdom which is one with Him? If it would be one with Him, how can we relate to it? This was the question. So the Alter Rebbe went on to explain that regarding this paradox, Chazal tell us in the conclusion of Masechet Megillah that b'makim shatamaitzei k'dilas Yeshua kadosh baruch hu shamatamaitzei an v'snusei, that in the very same place where you find the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there you find His humility. And therefore the Alter Rebbe says, as a consequence of this humility, which can be found in the very reality where His greatness is found, Hashem compressed His will and wisdom, which essentially is far and beyond human comprehension on any level whatsoever. And He compressed this very will and wisdom and articulated it in a manner which is accessible to the human mind. In other words, He compressed His will and wisdom within the body of Torah and Mitzvahs as we know it. In the words of the Alter Rebbe, He was mitzamtzemit. He articulated it, He defined it in the 613 mitzvahs of Torah and all their laws, as well as in the combination of the letters of the Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, and all the expositions, the drashos in Agada and in Medrashim of Chazal, which constitute the large body of literature of Torah. And this He did to enable the human mind and the human faculties to be able to comprehend, grasp, and perform Torah mitzvahs. And the Rebbe continued that this is the reason why Torah is compared to water, because just as water descends from a higher level to a lower level by their very nature, the very fabric of the chemistry of water causes them not to remain in their plane, but rather constantly to flow further and further. The same is true regarding Torah, which is compared to water. That Torah descended from the place of its glory, the lofty spiritual plane, which is its source. What is that place? Its original place is Hashem's will and wisdom, and Torah and Hashem are one, which no human mind can apprehend, no thought can grasp, conceive, or conceptualize whatsoever. And the Torah commenced on a major drastic journey from that original place. It journeyed through many stages and levels, stage after stage, through the evolution of the world, until finally it reached the final plane, which is when the Torah enclosed itself and articulated itself in corporal concepts, issues that deal with the physical world, which basically this constitutes the majority of the wisdom of the Torah and the majority of the mitzvahs of the Torah. This again is all that the human faculty of thought and the human faculties of speech and deed shall be able to connect and to link and to grasp the reality of Torah and mitzvahs, and through that give the ability for the Jew to actually become connected, linked, and bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, the Alter Rebbe is saying that true, in its source, in its originality, the Torah and the mitzvahs cannot be comprehended by the human being because it's one with Him. And we cannot grasp His ratzon and His chachma. But nevertheless, Hashem took that very Torah and mitzvahs, that very ratzon and chachma, and articulated it in a manner that we can comprehend it. So last week, the question was asked, what is the answer? What happened over here? What did Hashem do? If essentially, Torah and mitzvahs are the wisdom and the will of Hashem, which is unfathomable, which is incomprehensible. So what happened over here? If you say that the Torah we relate to is another Torah, fine, you're saying it's that very same Torah, so how do we indeed understand it? So you suggested an answer. That we all know there's a difference between the food we give to adults and the food we give to children. So you take the same piece of cake, but instead of giving the child the complete piece of cake, you cut it up into very small pieces. And you give it to the child. Why do you do that? Because in order that the child should be able to eat it, consume it, and digest it, it has to be cut into such small pieces. So similarly, perhaps we can say regarding the Torah, that the actual piece of cake in its completion, we cannot digest. We would not have the ability to relate to in any way possible. So Hashem, so to speak, cuts that very chachma up into tiny little pieces and allows us to have a taste of it through this contraction, through this limitation. So it's actually a valid point, but nevertheless, it still requires clarification, because over here the issue is not an issue of quantity. By the child doesn't have the ability to eat such a large piece of cake, so the quantity has to be minimized, it has to be decreased. Over here, you're dealing that essentially, qualitatively, the nature of Torah and mitzvahs, the wisdom and will of Hashem is of such that humanity cannot grasp it. It's not an issue of if you'll give it in smaller measures, we can be able to grasp. Well, we would be able to grasp it. Essentially, qualitatively, we're not dealing with the quantity. We're dealing with the eichus, with the quality. It's unfathomable. So, what type of transformation occurs that allows us indeed to have a connection to Torah mitzvahs? So briefly, the answer for that, the Alter Rebbe indicates with the words, "Hinei alzeh amru b'makim shatameitzik d'losir shlakadosh baruch hu shamatameitzian v'snusay." That in the very same place where you find the greatness of Hashem, you find His humility. With these words, the Alter Rebbe is explaining what indeed occurred to Torah and mitzvahs that we can and therefore should have a connection with it. In the very same level, in the very same reality, where Hashem is a Gadol, simultaneously He is also an Anav. In the very same realm of existence, where Hashem is unequivocal, absolute, infinite, undefined, unfathomable and incomprehensible, in that very same realm of existence, Atamaitzei and Vasnusei, He can and He does have the ability to, so to speak, anthropomorphically humble Himself and articulate Himself in a manner that us subjective, limited creatures can experience. In the words of one of the great Mekubalim, Reb Meir ben Gabay, 15th century Kabbalist, who is quoted often in the works of Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the author of the Tanya, in one of his fundamental works called Avedas HaKedesh, in the first section, in the beginning of Perek Ches, Reb Meir ben Gabay says, and I quote, "Ein sof u'shleimus mebli chisarin, v'im taimar sheyesh leikayach b'li gvul ve'ein leikayach b'gvul, ata mechaser shleimusa," which means "Ein sof," the infinite one, the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the ultimate perfection, mebli chisarin, lacking nothing. Now, if you will say that He possesses the power of unlimitedness, but does not possess the power of finiteness, you are taking away from His perfection. If we attribute to the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu the concept of Bli Gvul, of unlimitedness, the infinite quality, the undefined quality, the descriptionless, characterless quality, and so on and so forth, but we take away from Him the ability of gvul, the ability of defining and articulating Himself, we are decreasing, we are taking away from His shleimus, from His perfection. Because gvul is also a legitimate way of expression. So the same reality which is Ein Sof, and the Gdolasi Ein Cheker, and Leis Machshava Tzvisa Beklal, that Ein Sof itself forces us and compels us to say that since it is truly Ein Sof, Shama Tamaitzei and Vasnusai, the Ein Sof can also humble Himself and define Himself, articulate Himself in a manner that we can grasp. So Torah and mitzvahs is the will and wisdom of Hashem, and thus it's part and parcel, if you could say the word part, of the reality of Ein Sof, endless, infinite, absolute, unequivocal, which we cannot grasp and cannot comprehend by any means whatsoever. But in that place of Gdula, and because of the Ein Sof, because it is indeed the quality of Ein Sof, so Hashem has the ability to define it and articulate that very Chachma, that very Gdula, that very Bli Gvul, in a manner that humanity can relate to it and experience it. And as a consequence of this, that Hashem took that essential wisdom and will, which we cannot comprehend, and He began a journey. And this journey of Torah Mitzvahs began to descend stage after stage through the evolution of the worlds. And we discussed last week more at length the concept of the evolution of the worlds. How the Torah evolved and materialized stage after stage, assuming a more concrete and a more materialized incarnation and expression, until finally it reached its destination, the physical world, in the sense that on its lowest level, the wisdom of the Torah relates to physical phenomena, to physical reality, both the wisdom of Torah and the will of Torah. And this gives us to understand what is Torah and mitzvahs that we learn today and we observe today. The very logic, the very wisdom of Torah that a Jew studies, thinks about, talks about, understands, conceives, comprehends, that is the wisdom of Hashem, which essentially is unfathomable. But because of that itself, Hashem defined it in a way that we can grasp it. And this very mitzvah, this will, is essentially a will which we cannot grasp. But He articulated and defined that will in a manner that we can relate to it, that we can do with our hands, that we can talk about with our mouth, that we can think about with our faculty of thought. In light of the above, we also understand that when Alter Rebbe talks about the evolution of Torah through the worlds, it varies drastically from the evolution of the worlds per se, and even from the evolution of the souls. The worlds, the different worlds, this world and the higher supernal worlds we spoke about last week, more at length, I don't want to get into the details, are a created reality. There is the creator and there is creation. And thus, essentially, there's a gap between the creator and the creation. So the world is a nivra, and a nivra, a created reality, is infinitely removed from the Borei, from the creator of that reality. Even when we talk about the evolution of the world, how every facet and nuance of our creation ultimately originates in higher, more spiritual realities and then descends, nevertheless, the evolution of is in such a manner that the reality of the higher world is obscured and constricted and contracted as not to manifest itself in its full intensity in the lower world, and the evolution continues until our physical world is created. Even when you're talking about neshamis, souls of the Yid, which is not a created reality. The soul of the Jew, the Nefesh HaLakis, originates in the, so to speak, in the mind and in the wisdom of Hashem, or in the terminology of Tanya, in Chachma Da'atzilus, in the mind of the Father. It's a projection of the Borei. Nevertheless, the neshama goes through a metamorphosis and also evolves. So the original consciousness of the Father assumes new dimensions, dimensions of created reality. The neshama, although it originates in the mind of the Father, assumes a entity, an independent entity, to the extent that it becomes a consciousness, a thinking, achieving, feeling consciousness, which vitalizes a body. So what happens in the soul, although it originates in Chachma, it metamorphosizes and it assumes an identity of creation. But when you're talking about Torah, Torah is Chachma Seiratzeinu Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's all the stages of descent. It remains with that, with its full intensity. Chachma Seiratzeinu Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in that sense, it doesn't change even a bit. On every single level, on every single stage of reality, a logic of Torah, the will of mitzvahs, is the godly entity, it's the divine reality originating in Chachma Da'atzilus and throughout the entire path, throughout the entire journey. That's what it is. In every stage, in every level, it's godliness. It's alakus, it's getlichkeit, it's part of the divine reality. And therefore, when a Yid learns Torah and observes the mitzvahs, he connects with Hashem's reality. Which also, of course, means that when Alter Rebbe uses over here the word Tzimtzeim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it varies in meaning from the word Tzimtzeim in many other places. In other places, Tzimtzeim means contracted, obscured, removed, and so on and so forth. Over here, Tzimtzeim means compressed, concentrated, condensed, consolidated, articulated, defined. The very same Chachma and Ratzin, which is unfathomable, he concentrated in terminology and phraseology and reality that we can relate to. And that's why, after the Alter Rebbe said the word Tzimtzeim, and he explained how Torah was compressed in Tayag Mitzvah HaTorah V'L'Chesein, that we shall relate to it, he stops and he begins again, V'L'Chein Nimshul HaTorah L'Mayim. That's why Torah was compared to water, because he wants to clarify that over here Tzimtzim is not to be understood, that the Torah that we relate to down here with our physical brains is a different Torah than Hashem's essential wisdom and will. Rather, it's like water. The very same water that finds itself in a higher plane, that very same water descends to a lower plane. And thus, by the way, it gives us to explains the paradox which we find regarding Torah. On one hand, Torah is something that everyone can learn and everyone can understand to a certain degree. On the other hand, the very same Torah, which we learn has an infinite quality to itself. In one of the works of the Alter Rebbe, he writes that what do the neshamis do after their passing in Gan Eden? They learn Torah. So Avraham Avinu now is in Gan Eden for how many years? Avraham Avinu must be in Gan Eden now for, I think, close to 3,700 years. And he's learning Torah. Didn't he get tired of it already? You imagine, 3,700 years of learning Torah. Ribbono Shel Olam, the master of the universe. How much can he learn? So the answer is that Torah, but before the answer, even when we're dealing not with Neshamis in Gan Eden, a Yid over here, you cover a book, you finish the book, you read it again, twice, three times, four times, and you master it. Regarding the Torah, everyone who's familiar with Torah knows you can devote 80, 90 years to studying the Torah, and then you can start over the same sugya of the Gemara all over again, because there are literally infinite layers of depth. And this is the Torah that we have in this world, not another Torah. And the answer is because the very Torah that Hashem articulated in a manner that we can grasp, that very Torah is His Chachmas Ritzayne, which essentially is unfathomable. And the reason why it's fathomable to us is not because essentially it's something which is limited. It's rather because Yesh Lai Kayach Bigvul, and He has the ability to articulate His infinite wisdom in a manner that we can grasp it. So even after we grasp it, we can continue to learn and learn and learn and probe one layer after another layer after another layer, literally infinitely, both in quantity and in quality for eternity. Just as Hashem is infinite, the same is true Torah, and the same is true regarding the significance of the mitzvahs. Is it clear? Any questions? No. So now we will continue inside the text. As mentioned, Daf Ches Amud Beis, page 16, we are up to 5 lines from the bottom, the last word of the line, the word Umei Acher. Now, since Torah and its commandments clothe all 10 faculties of the soul, and all of the soul's 613 organs from head to foot, in other words, from its highest level, its head to its lowest level, so the soul is truly completely bound up with Hashem in the bond of life, and the very light ever havaya mamish makifo malbisha meyosh vadragla, and the very light of Hashem envelops and closes it from head to foot, again from its highest level, its head, to its lowest level, its foot. In other words, what Alter Rebbe is saying, since Hashem wanted to give the Jew an ability to truly craft a relationship with Him, with His very self, with His very essence, and that is the reason why Hashem did not allow His wisdom and will to remain in their original state, which would be unfathomable to us. We would not be able to observe a mitzvah because we would not be able to relate to what is His will. But He did not want that should happen. So therefore, He took the Torah and mitzvahs and articulated it in a manner that we can relate to it, so we understand very clearly that when it comes the 15th day of Tishrei, we have to go and take the branch of a palm tree, or the willow of a brook, or a myrtle leaf, or a citron, and shake it, which is a very fixed, defined, limited will, and Hashem wants this to be done, and the same is true with Torah. We can grasp a logic of Torah. Why? Because He wanted to give us the ability to connect to Him by making our lives instruments of His will and by making our minds mediums which comprehend His wisdom. So when this happens, the Torah and the mitzvahs enclose and envelop all the 10 faculties of the soul, and more specifically the 613 organs of the soul, as He said in the beginning of Perek Dalet. So what occurs as a consequence of this is that the entire soul is bound up with Hashem's reality, because the entire soul became connected to the reality of Hashem's wisdom and will, which is one with Him. Kamashikasov, as it says in Tehillim, Perikitches Pasa Gimel, Tzuri Echsebai, Hashem is my rock in whom I take refuge. In other words, it's quite obvious that only something which surrounds a person can protect him. So when David HaMelech is making that, using this metaphor and saying, Hashem is my rock in which I take refuge, it means that there is the concept of divinity that envelops and surrounds a person. This we see from the first pasuk, as well as from the next pasuk, Oksiv, it also says in Tehillim, Katzina Ratzin Ta'atrenu in Tehillim Perek Hei Pasuk Yud Gimel, as with a shield, Hashem's will surrounds him. Katzina is a shield, just as a shield, Ratzin, the will of Hashem Ta'atrenu, crowns and surrounds the person. What is the meaning in these psukim? Shehud Etzayne, V'chachmasa Yizbarach, Hamalubashim B'teiru Mitzvah. This is referring to his will and wisdom that are clothed in Torah and its commandments in the mitzvahs of Torah, that when the human being, the Jew, engages in this ratzin and chachma via his thought, speech, and action, what occurs is that the ratzin of Hashem, ratzin ta'atrenu, it envelops him, it consumes him, it surrounds him, spiritually speaking, because his soul is enclosed in garments which constitute the will and the wisdom of Hashem. And over here, at the conclusion of this page, at the conclusion of the statement, Alter Rebbe concludes explaining what he began saying. He began saying that the soul has two parts to it: its inner 10 faculties and its 3 behavioral garments. The inner 10 faculties actually constitute the internal identity of the soul. The 3 behavioral garments are actually just merely external to the inner pattern of the soul. They are the behavioral patterns of the soul engaging in activities. When you're talking about the divine soul, the inner 10 faculties gravitate and aspire to touch Hashem's reality, and the 3 garments are consumed with Torah and mitzvahs. So I would think that the 3 garments are identical to the 10 faculties or even inferior. So he says, no, the 3 garments are superior and infinitely superior to the soul itself. Why? Because although they're only garments, only expressions, but they are expressions of Torah and mitzvahs, and thus they and only they allow the soul to connect to Hashem. Which means, in other words, that over here, the concept of garments is quite different than usually when we talk about garments. Usually, the main issue is the human being, the bearer of the garments. The sole quality and value of the garments is that they clothe and envelop a human being. That is their sole value, utility, and function. However, in this case, it's the other way around. The garments are infinitely superior to the soul itself, because they are of Torah and mitzvahs, which is the wisdom and will of Hashem, which is part of the divine reality. The soul, albeit its greatness, is ultimately a soul, and therefore defined by the definitions and the limits, confinements of creation. But when the soul puts on these garments, when the soul closes itself in these garments, the soul itself connects and links its identity and its reality to the reality of these garments, and by that, the soul is elevated to the level of the garments of the Torah and mitzvahs, and also becomes part and one with Hashem's reality, like he says, that kula, the whole soul, is true, Rabbi Tzrayer HaChayim is Hashem Mamash, is Mamash, bound up with Hashem in the bond of life. Why? Because since the soul, the identity of the soul, is enclosed in garments of Torah and mitzvahs, and the garments of Torah and mitzvahs are one with Hashem, and the soul is part of the experience of the Torah and the mitzvahs, so therefore the entire soul is elevated and becomes connected to Hashem's reality. Is it clear? With these last words, the Alter Rebbe is not only culminating this topic, but rather also answering a very important question, which comes to mind after learning the idea that he conveyed throughout this parak. And I'll put it to you in the words of one of the distinguished participants of the Shiur. He's not here this evening, but when we started to learn the parak a few weeks ago, and the first time we learned about the Alter Rebbe discussing how the levushim are infinitely superior to the soul, and what the implications of that are, that the actual activity of Torah and mitzvahs, even stripped and divorced of their internal vitality and fervor that comes from the soul, is infinitely greater than the soul itself, because it's Torah and mitzvahs. So he came to me and he says after the shiur, so why are we learning Tanya? Why are we learning Tanya? If Perek Dalet comes to tell us that the dry fulfillment of a mitzvah. That is Ratzin Hashem, which is contrary to our usual understanding of Torah and mitzvahs. Usually, we discussed a few weeks ago at length, we understand that the significance of Torah and mitzvahs is as expressing an inner identity, an inner experience. What is the significance of a Yid putting on tefillin? The significance is the submission it's expressing, the commitment it's revealing, the acceptance of the divine yoke that is coming to fruition. It is demonstrating the internal identity of a human being. But the tefillin itself, although it's important, it's crucial, it's significant, because it's the implementation, but nevertheless, the normal attitude towards it, that its true value is as a garment which expresses the bearer of the garment. And to prove that most people think so is very simple. Take a Jew who has no internal experience and do with him one mitzvah. Is there any value to that at first glance? Seemingly not. Over here, it's clothed without an emperor. By divine providence. I just spoke about your question. So in light of the above, the question is, why are we learning Tanya? Once we learn Perek Dal, then we see that the soul, with all its experiences, and with all of its exaltedness, and with all of its spiritual sophistication, and with all its gravitation towards the divine reality, and its yearning to touch Hashem, and to connect to Hashem, and so on and so forth, is ultimately a limited consciousness. And the only real way to have a connection with Hashem is by rising above and beyond the experience of the soul and doing a mitzvah. What is the significance of doing the mitzvah? So the answer is because the mitzvah is the will of Hashem. And the same is true learning Torah. You learn a word of Torah, it's the wisdom of Hashem. So now you relate it to Hashem's reality. You left your own reality and you cleave to Him, you connect to Him. If so is the case, why are we learning in Tanya about the internal dynamics of the Jew and the souls of the Jew? And we're learning about this itself, the inner dynamics of Torah and mitzvahs. The bottom line is, the external dry, if you want to call it dry, but I'm trying to convey the point, simple, physical deed of doing a mitzvah, as articulated in Shulchan Aruch in the Jewish code of law. But the question really extends much more. Why is there b'chlal a need for ava and yira, for love and fear, in the act of observing the mitzvahs? What is the need for it? Why do Chazal and the Torah stress in many places that in addition to fulfilling and implementing the actual mitzvah as recorded in Shulchan Aruch, it is very important that the person identify with it in an internal manner, that the person develop a love towards Hashem, a love towards a mitzvah, a love towards studying Torah, that the person develops an internal experience of awe, fear, of dread in the midst of doing a mitzvah, as he discussed in the beginning of Perek Dalet? What is the need for this? The question is not why we need Ava and Yira. Those are mitzvahs of the Torah. There's a mitzvah of Ava Hashem, there's a mitzvah of Yira Hashem. As does, they're part of Hashem's will. They don't pale in comparison to the mitzvah of tefillin. Ava is a mitzvah, just as tefillin is a mitzvah. That's not the question. The question, however, is why does tefillin need Ava? Why does mezuzah need Ava? Why does eating kosher need Ava? Why do mitzvahs need the internal identity of the human being who is engaging in the mitzvah? Go over to a Jew after this class, walking the streets of Bar Park or any other community, and ask him a question. Why is it that it is important that when we put on tefillin, when we shake a lulav, when we eat matzah on the 15th day of Nisan, we should have a feeling for it? So I'll answer you very simple. Without the feeling, what is it worth? What did you do? You took a willow and you shook it. Beautiful. Who cares? You took a piece of burnt, unleavened bread and you stuffed it down your esophagus. Who cares? What is the significance of it? If there's an internal relationship, you understand what you're doing, you feel for what you're doing, you're a frum Jew in the modern slang, you're committed to Hashem. So eating the matzah is not eating the matzah, it's expressing something. So of course, you have to eat the matzah, not everyone will agree, but eating the matzah is expressing something. But in light of what Alter Rebbe is saying, that that's a wrong approach, it's not appreciating the true essence of Torah mitzvahs, the true significance of eating the matzah, is simply that, taking that type of piece of bread and getting it down your gullet. Why? Because that constitutes the will of Hashem. And this will is one, and as thus it surpasses infinitely any type of meditation, any type of submission, any type of joy, any type of love, any type of awe. Now we don't understand, why does the mitzvah need the internal experience? Usually we say that the mitzvah itself is devoid of an inner content and life, and the mitzvah, so to speak, needs energy, it needs a battery. Eating matzah without av is worthless and insignificant, it's a corpse. But now we come to realize the other way around. Matzah doesn't need your love. So what does your experience in eating matzah add to the powerful, amazing, extraordinary, boring physical act of eating matzah? It's totally of different worlds. And it's bichlal. Not only why do you need it, it's a yavan that falls into a sukkah. It's like a Greek who falls into a sukkah. You're love when you're eating matzah. You're eating matzah. Matzah is the will of Hashem. As thus, it's part and parcel of the divine reality. So you also agree to it. A nice shidduch over here. Your entity, your ego is involved. Granted, it's a sophisticated entity, it's a spiritual entity, it's a beautiful thing, it's an amazing thing, but it pales in comparison, and pales infinitely in comparison, to the actual act of eating the matzah. So why is it that there's such an emphasis in Torah? Just as much as there's an emphasis on the act, there is also a similar emphasis on the internal experience enclosed in the act. And this question comes to mind only after the explanation in Perek Dalet on what the essence of Torah and Mitzvot is. So the Alter Rebbe answers, and he gives a very interesting answer with these few lines. You know, you're right. The mitzvahs do not need any internal experience whatsoever. The mitzvahs are perfectly well off without you internally identifying with their greatness. Why? Because the mitzvah is Hashem's will and Torah is Hashem's wisdom. If so, why do we find this requirement in Yiddishkeit? And the answer is not for the sake of the mitzvahs. It's for the sake of your soul. Your soul, as great as it is ultimately a nefesh. And as thus it is confined to the shackles of a created reality in some level or another. Now, it seems that throughout our entire life we cannot leave that reality. So Hashem gave us an opportunity to connect to Him via our thought, our speech, and our action. If we engage in mitzvahs only with our faculties of thought, speech, and action, devoid of an inner fervor and zealousness, so yes, which part of ourselves connects to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Our behavioral part. But what about us, ourselves? We never have an ability to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality. So Hashem gave us Torah mitzvahs as our levushim, and tells us, listen, I want your soul to enclose itself in the levushim. Your mitzvah should not only be an external behavioral act, but rather they should be expressions of your internal 10 faculties, your cognitive, emotional, and functional faculties. What will happen then? Not the mitzvahs will be elevated. You will be elevated. Not the mitzvahs need the Ava and the Yira. The Ava and Yira need the mitzvahs. The Ava and Yira without the mitzvahs is Ava of a human being and Yira of a human being. And as thus, as great as and as high as it soars, it remains confined to its own parameters of existence. When in the tefillin there is enclosed an Ava which is motivating the tefillin, so the Ava jumped onto the wagon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the internal identity of man becomes one with Hashem. And that's what Alter Rebbe concludes over here. All the Eser Pchinis HaNafesh, Hari Kula Tzuru B'Tzer HaChayim Es Hashem Mamesh. True, even if you will not enclose your Kaychis in the Levushim, the power, the connection to Hashem was achieved, was created, and that's the main thing. The Din and Shulchan Aruch. But the Torah wants more than that. The Ratzon Hashem is that the human being in his or her totality should become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvaydei Batzim. So therefore, he gives your identity the ability to get onto the train and connect to the Torah and mitzvahs, which is Ahir Aisavik, which is B'richa Kulachat, and by thus elevate your whole character and make it one with Ribbono Shel Olam B'Chvaydei Batzmei. Is it clear? That's the point. No questions? V'lachein amru, this is the reason that our sages have said, and this is a statement of Rabbi Yaakov. In Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Zayin, the Mishnah says, Hu haya Eimer, Rabbi Yaakov used to say, Yafer Shah Achas. B'tshuva, Ma'isim Tovim Ba'olam Hazem, Mikol Chayei Olam Haba. 1 hour of tshuva, of repentance, of return, and good deeds in this world is better than the whole life of the world to come. Rabbi Yaakov continues, V'yafa, Shah Achas, Shalkeiras Ruach Ba'olam Haba, Mikol Chayei Olam Hazem. And 1 hour of delight and pleasure in Olam Haba, in the future world, is better than the whole delight and pleasure that exists in our present world. So he makes a distinction regarding Tshuva Maisim Tovim. He says, 1 hour of Tshuva Maisim Tovim in this world is greater than the entire life of the future world. 1 hour of delight in the future world is greater than the whole life of the present world. So what's Pshat? So the Alter Rebbe explains, Ki Olam Haba Hu Shenen in Meziv Hashchina. The world to come, the schar, the reward, the experience of the world to come consists of enjoying the radiance of the Shechina, of the Divine Presence. Which is actually a statement of Chazal and Masicht Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin Amid Aleph. The Gemara says that Margal Bepumi Derav, Rav used to say, that ha'olam haba ein bei lo yachila ve lo yisiyya ve lo yipirya ve rivya ve lo yimasomatim ve lo yikina ve lo yisinna ve lo yitachrus elo tzadikim yayishrim vatriseyim bireyishayim ve nen imiziv hashchina. He says, olam haba, there is no eating, no drinking, no propagation, no business, no jealousy, no hatred, no competition. Rather, tzadikim, righteous men, sit with their crowns on their heads and they enjoy the radiance of the Divine Presence. And he brings the pasuk of Mishpatim, Vayishenemar, Vayechezu, Vashalikim, Vayechlu, Vayishtu. They saw the divine reality, and that was for them, that satiated them, it satisfied them, as if it would have been food and drink. So the definition of Olam Haba that Rabbi Yaakov is describing, what does this world consist of? What is the type of lifestyle in Olam Haba, the lifestyle that exists in this world we're all familiar with? Because we're presently here, Baruch Hashem. What is the lifestyle of Olam Haba? It's a lifestyle where Nenim is Ivashchina. Tzadikim Yeshua Matrisayim Bereshchayim. And they enjoy, they marvel on the Ziv Hashchina, on the divine radiance. Shahu Tainug HaHasaga. This is the pleasure derived from the comprehension of Elikus, of godliness. The fact that the Gemara says Nenim, they enjoy it. There is pleasure over here. The pleasure stems from the comprehension. The fact that the creatures that exist in the world to come, neshama is the souls, understand, conceive, comprehend, conceptualize, grasp the reality of the divine. This is a major pleasure, a pleasure that is unparalleled to all the pleasures that we experience in this world. And therefore, even 1 hour of Kayas Ruach and Olam Haba is greater than the whole Chayei Olam Hazeh. V'lachein ve'i efsher l'shum nivra filu me'el yenim l'hasiki me'zeh ar emeir havaya. Now, no created being, even a spiritual being of the higher realms, such as angels or souls and so forth, can comprehend any more than a glimmer of the divine light, v'lachein nikri b'shem zivashchina. For which reason the reward of the souls in Olam Haba is referred to as zivashchina. In the Chazal terminology of Chazal, v'nehenim is zivashchina. What is zivashchina? The radiance of the divine presence. Since it is no more than a remote gleam of the divine light that they can comprehend and grasp, so we call it zivashchina. But as for the essence and glory of the Holy One, blessed be He, leis machshav v'tfisa beklal, no thought can apprehend Him at all. In the words of the Zayar, the Akdama of Tikkun Zayar, he brought earlier in the Perek, that leis machshav v'tfisa beklal, no thought, as supreme, as sublime, as aloof, as spiritual, as sophisticated, as the thought may be, it by definition of it being a thought, by definition of it being an entity which is not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which was made, which was created, which is emanated, which is projected, it cannot grasp the essence of the divine reality. So therefore in Olam Haba there is a major enjoyment and a profound pleasure, a transcendental delight, which comes from which is the Tainug HaSaga, which comes from comprehension. But after everything said and done, it's a relationship to Ziv HaShechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydei b'atzmei, they cannot grasp in Olam Haba, because no machshava, the highest machshava, cannot grasp. Ki im only kasher tfiso mislabeshes b'teiro mitzveisah, when the soul and the thought of the soul apprehends and clothes itself in Torah and its mitzvahs, azai hitfiso mislabeshes b'Kadosh Baruch Hu mamash, then does it grasp and clothe itself in Hashem Himself. Why? For Teira and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one and the same. So therefore, Shah Achas of Tshuva Maisim Tovim Ba'olam Hazeh is greater than Kol Chaye Olam Haba. Why? Because Chaye Olam Haba, they experience, they gain delight, they enjoy, they have pleasure from the Ziv HaShechina. But there is no relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydei b'atzmei, because the definition of Olam Haba is the pleasure that comes from comprehension, from internalization. And since you're dealing with a creature, albeit a very spiritual, aloof, and sublime one, so by the very definition of who he is, there are certain parameters that limit this entity. And there are those parameters that make it separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydei b'atzmei. You cannot grasp it. Leis machshavat tfisa b'klal. Versus Olam Haza, Tshuva, Maisim Tevim. This is Teirah Mitzvahs. This is Chachmasi Ritzayne Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the wisdom and the will of Hashem, which is part of His domain, His reality. So therefore, when a Yid engages in Tshuva Maisim Tovim in Olam Haza, it surpasses, it exceeds the whole life of Olam Haba, because in Olam Haza, he crafts and he molds a relationship. He becomes bound with the reality of Hashem in his very essence. So that's the explanation in what Rabbi Yaakov is saying in Pirkei Avos. When you're talking about pleasure and delight, of course Olam Haba is greater. Over there we experience the pleasure of the Shekhinah. Over there we have very powerful spiritual sophistication, where we marvel of the divine reality.